This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
People of Earth, your planet has to be destroyed.
Welcome to Conspiracy, the show. The world's most trusted conspiracy theory podcast. With your hosts, Adam Todd Brown and Olivia Haidar.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conspiracy the Show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host today, my favorite co-host of all, no co-host. But I do have a very special guest. Comedian Kim Krall is here. Kim, how's it going?
Hi, I'm excited. I'm nervous, though, too.
I am super excited.
This is like my one opinion that stops every conversation once I bring it up. Clears rooms. Men have ghosted me. Like, this is my one opinion that, like, it might be my one weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, the whole reason we're doing this is because you were on an episode of the Unpops podcast not too long ago. And you said the name Paul McCartney and then threw up some air quotes.
I do that.
Which did actually kind of stop the podcast in its tracks. So we could ask what the air quotes were about. And you think Paul McCartney died in the 1960s, right?
A lot of people think Paul McCartney died in the 1960s.
That's true. We're doing kind of a format buster here today. Normally, I bring all the research, I do all the legwork, and I relay the conspiracy to the co-host or the guest and the audience. And, you know, they decide. Going the other way this time. Kim is going to tell me why it is true that Paul McCartney died in 1966, I think.
1966, November 9th, 1966.
9/11.
No, November 9th, 11/9. But I guess in
England, though,
it's a 9/11. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. So Paul McCartney died on 9/11. Go on.
Okay. So the story is, and I watched a documentary yesterday, too, in between power outages, that made me kind of believe it more, even though they called the replacement a different name, but the full name. Okay. So basically in 1966, around midnight, November 9th, 1966, the Beatles go into recording and Paul and John get in a fight over lyrics, right? Mm-hmm. They get in a big fight over lyrics. Paul gets increasingly flustered, upset. So he leaves and he dies. He gets a big car accident and basically gets decapitated, right? And so there's two stories. So the story I knew before and then the story from the documentary, because the story from the documentary, and I'm kind of using air quotes because I don't feel like they could make a documentary, call it a documentary. How many times can I say the word documentary?
I know, it's really, I don't even think it's a real word anymore.
Take a drink every time I do. It's 9 a.m. The story is that, like, the manager, they saw it was Paul McCartney, and it was like, you have to understand, at the time, in 1966, Beatlemania was at its height. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like people would have killed themselves had someone like him died, right? Also, England was buzzing because they won the World Cup. So go on a ride with me. They're like, fuck, we have, like, right? So the manager, the documentary, okay, take a drink. The documentary says that someone from MI5 contacted the remaining Beatles, found them. And this, by the way, this is set up as George Harrison's last will and testament. And this whole documentary is set up around the fact that, like, that the MI5 was going to kill the Beatles if they came forward with this Billy Shears thing. So
is that the documentary you're talking about? The one with the George Harrison audio?
Yes, but it's not him. If you go to IMDb, yeah, it's some, like, guy named Morris.
That's like a mockumentary. I don't think that's like a real documentary. I watched that like 10 years ago.
Is it called Paul Is Really Dead? We're going to look this up. How do you know if it's a mockumentary? What if we derail? By the way, I thought this was real before I watched this documentary, but wait, it's not okay. Where does it say mockumentary?
I feel like that's a spoof, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Go on. I don't.
All right, we're going to keep going. I don't think it's a spoof. Is it a spoof?
I don't know.
Either way, the podcast isn't over because this is how I felt before I watched this thing. So basically, they had held a Paul McCartney lookalike contest randomly. So they held this random like Tiger Beat, something like that. And this orphan, this Scottish orphan named Billy Shears won. So they contact Billy Shears. And they basically, the plan was only like a week or so. Let's just like, this happened so suddenly. Let's like give ourselves some time so we don't have to announce like possibly one of the most tragic deaths ever, right? Not really, but especially in that time, how crazy Beatlemania was. So the plan was, and then Billy Shears wasn't really that bad. The thing is though, he's a right-handed guitar player. Okay, I'm just gonna read the notes now. You ready for this?
Well, that's the thing. Him, for the Beatles to have put a replacement Paul McCartney in place and recorded the music they recorded, they needed way more than a lookalike. Like,
no, and that's the other thing, though. Right before Paul McCartney died, they had announced that they were changing their look and stopping touring. They decided to stop touring just randomly before that. So they were able to, like, take some time because they're like, we're changing our sound. And that's when Sgt. Pepper came out, which was like a whole other. And that album cover is basically a funeral to Paul.
That album cover has a lot of references to death on it. And if you're looking for references to Paul McCartney's death, you'll find a lot of references to death. All on right, that album cover, but you'll also find references to death in literally everything. And that thing you just said about them changing their look and their sound and their style, is that maybe what they're throwing the funeral for? Is the old version of the Beatles?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, because why wouldn't they just say that?
Because boring. Like, why would they say that? Why would they say this album cover represents the death of the old Beatles, baby? Like, we knew, like, you knew that looking at it, that represented a different version of the Beatles.
But it also could possibly be that there's a bunch of references to Paul dying.
It could be, but I am not in any way, shape, or form convinced.
At all?
No.
Okay, this is how I feel.
Paul McCartney was young in 1966, and I've seen, like, I've looked at the evidence. And for one thing, a lot of the evidence is made up. Like, all the stuff from the Abbey Road album, the person who put that out into the world has since made it clear that he was joking and that it's not, like, he didn't really intend people to take that as facts.
Like the 28, now 28, and how it was like a funeral. Like, okay, well, the weird thing is about after all that, Paul is different in every album cover. Like all the original Beatles, the three original alive Beatles. And don't get me wrong. I think, okay, the way I really think about this is if 5 or 10 years from now, Paul McCartney was like, hey, I'm really Billy Shears. That whole thing was real. It wouldn't matter because he's been Paul McCartney. Like, Paul McCartney number two has been Paul McCartney longer than Paul McCartney number one was. So he's basically Paul McCartney. So if he came forward and was like, I'm actually this, but I'm still Paul McCartney, I would be like, I'm not surprised. But if you know,
well, that's
never
the whole thing. That's the whole thing. With any good conspiracy theory, a really important question to ask is why? Like, why would this be such a big deal? And you mentioned, well, the Beatles were so huge in 1966 and people would have been all upset
devastated.
Right. But 4 years later, they weren't. Like, the Beatles broke up 4 years later.
Yeah. And they say the reason why they actually broke up was because new Paul McCartney and John couldn't get along and John wouldn't quit making all these references on the album cover. Do you think I'm crazy?
I don't think you're crazy, but I think you need to at least take into account that John Lennon might have been fucking with you.
No.
Like, the Beatles knew of this rumor. Like, Paul McCartney was interviewed about it in Life magazine, because after the rumor started spreading, Life magazine went to his fucking farm.
They also broke into his farm.
Yeah.
And they actually broke into the farm in Scotland, where Billy Shears is from.
Now, if you...
And he was angry and was like, fine, come in here and take these pictures, whatever, we'll do the interview. Because they were like, we got a bunch of pictures of you that you don't want out there, but if you give us an interview... Like, I don't think it was a scheduled interview. I think they just
They just showed up at his place.
Yeah.
Which is what you do if there's a rumor that a fake Paul McCartney is out there in the world. You don't call and say, hey, can we talk to this fake Paul McCartney? You show up like Jesse Ventura.
But he's like Paul McCartney at this point, right? Like he's like at that point that Lifetime
Shears.
Billy Shears died. Billy Shears died when Paul, like the real Paul McCartney died.
Okay.
Meaning like that guy took on, and then that's what the maybe documentary that it doesn't say mockumentary anywhere. It has to say that if it's a mockumentary.
Okay,
doesn't
so what
it?
What does the documentary say? Does it mention that Life magazine interview?
Yes.
And is that, and let me guess, that's just part of the plot, right?
No, they've mentioned it so briefly. I only know about that from other research I've done. They didn't mention it very much at all.
It does seem pretty important that like actual journalists went out to Paul McCartney at the time this rumor was circulating.
Well, let me ask you.
Like, here he is.
But if he's there, they're a lookalike. There's plastic surgery. That's what the documentary said. They're like, the reason why MI5 was so invested is that they were like, we don't want to have mass hysteria on our hands. We'll give this guy minor plastic surgery, right? And so it was like, we've used so much of the government resources. Now it sounds really crazy as I'm saying it out loud, that like, you can't expose us because we shouldn't tell the world we're using government resources to like fake a Beatle. But let me ask you, if the journalists go to the farm and it is in my world, it is a fake Paul McCartney. Just pretend it is, right? Pretend we know it is. They're not going to go there and be like, are you fake Paul McCartney? And he's not going to, like, this is like a well-developed lie. And at this point, this is like a full-blown life. You know what I mean? So like, they're going to show up and he's not going to be like, ah, you got me with my pants down. You know, like, he's going to be like, yeah, I'm Paul McCartney. Because he's had to be Paul McCartney all the time.
It wasn't that long into it, though.
But it's not like, it's not like somebody, like, I'm not famous like that, right?
Uh-huh.
Someday. I leaned into my microphone. You can't see it because of the thing. But so, like, if someone, like, if they decided to replace me instead of just letting me die, whoever replaced me could, like, be themselves most of the time. Paul McCartney was, like, in the spotlight. So Billy Shears had, so maybe it wasn't that long into the rumor, but it went on for a couple of years before people started taking it seriously. And it started in the States.
Well, yeah, it started with an article in a college newspaper.
Yeah.
Where it was just someone like asking about it. But
why did they ask about it? I couldn't find like why was the start? Why did this person?
Well, that's the thing. The actual origin of this rumor is kind of unknown. And the only genesis of it that we know is the articles that start talking about it, where like it was covered in a Beatles fan magazine where they were like, no, fucking Paul is not dead. It was covered in a couple college newspapers. It was covered on a radio show. But no one knows exactly where the rumor started. I don't know which version of the crash you believe, because he was killed in a car crash.
Yeah.
And the version I've always heard is that he picked up a hitchhiker.
Named Rita.
Oh, is that lovely Rita Metermaid? Let me guess.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, here's the thing.
But yeah, her name was Rita. They actually changed all of her information. She came back and was like, hey, I've decided I would like money or something for keeping this crazy secret.
The version I've always heard is the girl he picked up died in the car crash, too.
Oh, I heard she didn't die.
And the version I've always heard is she gets in the car and sees that it's Paul McCartney that picked her up. And she's so excited. She freaks out and hugs him. And they both die in a car crash, which raises the question, who witnessed her freaking out and grabbing his neck? If it was just,
yeah, I always knew she, I thought she lived.
Well, tell me about her then.
Okay, so I heard she lived. So M13, like this guy Maxwell goes and gets the remaining Beatles at their recording studio. You can't make that face at me.
Is this the Maxwell referenced in Maxwell's Silver Hammer? I love how all of these people have names that match Beatles songs. Here's the thing.
Eleanor Rigby is apparently about Paul's funeral,
here's the
where
thing.
There's only three
the
people
thing.
There.
Wait, here's the thing. MI6 and the CIA both are brutal intelligence agencies. If John Lennon was intentionally putting clues to an MI6 plot on a Beatles album, they would fucking kill him.
I'm sorry, where is John Lennon now?
Yeah, he died in 1980. You think they killed him in 1980 for putting clues to Beatles?
I think that the clues were very,
albums?
I don't think the clues were very like.
People were talking about the clues when the albums were out. Like, it was in the 60s. Yes.
Oh,
like, the article you're referencing where it all started in the United States, that was like 68.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But, like, the reason why they say, I mean, I don't know. I don't know much about John Lennon's death, and that makes me really sad because I don't want to know why that guy did it. But, like, a lot of the articles are saying it's because, or not a lot, but a few of the articles are saying, now I understand how crazy I sound, by the way. I understand. Just saying it's one of the small ones that I'm like, maybe.
I don't doubt there might have been some intelligence agency involvement in the death of John Lennon. But if there was, it has nothing to do with clues in Beatles. Because think of what you just said.
Oh, no, he was going to go to the mockumentary, whatever it was like, no, he called George Harrison and was like, enough's enough. I can't live with this lie anymore. It's been enough time. I'm going to move to the States and I'm going to come out with it. Or he moved to the States and then he's like, I'm going to come out with it finally. And George Harrison was never. So this is another weird thing. Okay, real quick. George Harrison spent most of his time in his castle and after this, because he was like, I was so scared to leave because of all of this. And number two, when they were inducted into the Hall of Fame, Paul McCartney didn't go. And George Harrison was like, yeah, he wasn't a part of that. So it's fine. Like, there was an interview of George Harrison, actual George Harrison, his face. He didn't say he was a part of that, but he goes, yeah, he wasn't there. And they're like, don't you find that weird? And he's like, no, we had a good time without him.
They didn't get along. Like, they
really?
Were like, not every member of Creedence Clearwater Revival showed up when they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It doesn't mean John Fogerty faked his death in the 1960s. It just means they fucking hated each other by the 80s. Like, there's
really
TV miniseries about how much John and Paul fucking hated each other. There's nothing about Paul McCartney not showing up for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony that leads me to believe he died in a car crash in the 60s.
In 1966.
And I don't know. I still, if John Lennon was killed by government forces, it would have been because of the kind of person he was and the influence he had. Because he was killed at a huge turning point in world history where the United States starts really going hard in the paint in Latin America fighting communism. And
in the 80s? 81?
What do you mean?
I thought that was more 70s.
No, it was during the Reagan administration. He was elected in 1980.
Oh, okay.
And John Lennon would absolutely be the type who could organize people and rally them around an anti-war message because it's a thing he had already done. And I'm not speculating that that's why John Lennon was killed, but if a government entity killed him, it wouldn't be because of clues on a Beatles album. You just said yourself, if Paul McCartney came out tomorrow and was like, yeah, I was actually Billy Shears that whole time, no one would give a fuck. Like, what
it'd be wild. It'd be a wild thing to learn about, but it wouldn't be like
it would be a wild thing to learn about that the world would care about for a day or two.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably care about longer because I've dedicated a lot of time to.
I bet you wouldn't even care about it as long as you think.
I mean, maybe a week.
Because it's not that important. Like, it's not.
But now, and maybe that's what Paul McCartney now is like. This isn't really that important. I've lived a good life as Paul McCartney. I'm technically Paul McCartney.
Okay, so tell me some of the other clues. Tell me about some of the other proof.
Well, it was mostly about the album stuff, but you sort of debunked that right away. So do you want me to just read it?
Well, can you run us through some of the clues on the album cover?
Yes. All right, so let's start. All right,
I did read about a bunch of these, and I have thoughts on some of them if you get to those.
Okay, let's see. A group of reporters broke into. All right, the rumors died out. Okay, the rumors died after the reporters broke in and found, you know, in the Lifetime magazine. The rumors died shortly after that, and they felt that the Beatles were right. Okay, so then the reason why they're saying that they did the clues on the album was because the Beatles were racked with guilt about their friend dying and how they just sort of continued on. Okay, so Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band. I always said Club Am as a kid. Okay. Like Club Am. It depicted Paul's funeral. The cover centers around Paul, who is wearing a page that said a patch that says OPD, officially pronounced dead. It's actually Ontario Police Department.
Yeah. Providence. I think Ontario Provincial.
Providence. Like Providence. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
It says provital on my notes, but I don't think that's a word. on the back cover, George is pointing to a line that says Wednesday at 5 o'clock, because that is when Paul was officially pronounced dead. And weirdly enough, November 9th, 1966 was a Wednesday, and he died at 5 a.m. on Wednesday. Why is he pointing at that? Do you have the Sgt. Pepper Lonely Heart Club Am? Do you want me to get the album out?
I know. I'm familiar with the album cover, and I've heard about these clues. But again, that's like saying, why did John say the walrus was Paul? Because he's fucking with you. Like, the Beatles knew about these rumors by this point.
Yeah, but they seemed mad about it in interviews. Like when you asked Paul, Paul was like, no, I'm alive. Why are, at first he was like,
how would you feel if people, every time you sat down for an interview, were like, hey, can I compare your ears to this old picture of you and see if it's really you? Of course you'd be mad.
I don't know. I think it was kind of funny.
Well, they obviously did think it was kind of funny. That's why they put all those clues on the Sgt. Pepper album.
So you think that they had, okay, so then Paul is the only one who has his back turned on the album. There are also dozens of other symbols for death in other cultures, but there was like literally dozens, and I didn't understand most of them. It was like, oh, in Italy, they do this, so this is why they did this. Like,
well,
dozens.
One of the things people point to is everyone else is wearing red and Paul is wearing blue. Yeah. Why wouldn't Paul be the one covered in blood?
Because the guilt is on their hands. The blood is on their hands.
Yeah, they really felt guilty about this. That's for Dan. Point to me where they feel guilty.
Well, they can't feel guilty, because if they feel guilty, then they come forward and then they prove that this is, then they like, they can't show guilt. So that's what the album cover is just like clues because they feel guilty. This is the longest I've ever talked about this, and I honestly thought I had way more evidence, because most of the time, like, I have a whole, like, 2 pages written out, but most of the time, no one ever lets me get this far, and they either leave or they don't. They don't allow me to go in circles.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You don't think that there's at all a possibility. Why would this rumor start?
I mean, rumors like this start all the time. There's a rumor like this about Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, that one might be real too.
That one is absolutely not real. Like,
have you seen her talk? Okay, this is my only proof.
Listen,
watch her talk from then and now.
Will you wait?
Different human.
You have to just look a little harder. Yes, there are videos that show Avril Lavigne singing, and it sounds like a different person singing. There is also a 15-minute video, thousands and thousands of views, very easy to find on YouTube, where an actual vocal coach explains why those two videos sound different. They're in different settings. The acoustics are going to be different. She's had vocal training since her first album. So where people hear, oh, she can't even sing that song the way she used to, it's because it would wreck her voice to do that. She has had training and is a better singer now. She was not killed and replaced by a body double. Avril Lavigne especially. Like, what, is Canada going to go crazy?
So that's the thing. Because first of all, I didn't listen to the vocal. I just listened to an interview of her talking. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's totally a different person. It's 100% a different person. Like, my voice has been this octave most of the time, right? Like, well, I actually smoked for a long time, and I honestly thought it would go back to being as Mickey Mouse as it was before I started smoking, and no, this is just what I sound like now. But like, they, like, not vocally, I just looked at two different interviews and I was like, yeah, I could see how that's too. But that's the other, that's the point of Avril. Like, first of all, they say she killed herself, and it was like she was like a teen pop idol or whatever, and they didn't want to like glorify suicide. One, two, Yeah, I don't think anybody would care that much. So
no,
that one, I mean, I wouldn't, I'd be like, okay. They say Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey, but that gets debunked very quickly when you look at the years.
I don't think Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey. I don't tend to believe really any of the replacement conspiracy theories. Like, there's an Andrew WK one, and it's like, why the fuck would Andrew WK get replaced by an imposter?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, see? Exactly. That would be
Paul
like
McCartney's
someone replacing,
the only one that makes sense.
That would be like someone replacing me with an imposter. It's like,
that's what I said about, yeah.
Who the fuck cares? Like, why would you even do it? Like, and with Paul McCartney, here's the thing about the Beatles. I don't buy the mass hysteria argument. I don't think the British government would go to these lengths to cover up the death of a pop star. Like, I'm pretty sure the British government killed Princess Diana. And boy, was there some uproar when that happened. And they didn't have any fucking problem unleashing that sadness on the country. So I don't think...
Different time, though. Age group. You know what I mean? Like, or different, like, people in power.
Sure.
20 years apart.
But also, like, people die. Like, people die all the time. And the thing about the Beatles is they're the Beatles. Like, they didn't really need another Paul McCartney. They had a John Lennon and a George Harrison in the group already.
Paul McCartney was one of the main ones. Like, he was...
The Beatles are three people. The Beatles are John Lennon, George Harrison, and Paul McCartney. Like, they are the three primary singer-songwriters.
Poor Ringo.
Yeah, but I mean, Ringo's highly underrated. And also, there's a reason he had to join the Beatles for the Beatles to get a record deal.
Why?
Because the drummer they had wasn't good enough. And they said, they said you have to replace your drummer. And they replaced
him. I think about Pete Best once a week.
Yeah, and they replaced him with Ringo Starr because he's a good drummer.
What happened to Pete Best is dead, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
I think about him once a week. Like, can you just imagine?
Yeah. I mean, I bet he had a decent... I mean, you could build a career out of that. You could go hit the club circuit. No problem. I'm sure he did fine. I hope.
I think he died. I don't know. But
I mean,
think
we
about
all die.
All
but I think he lived a while. Or maybe he died really quick. I don't know. In which case, they made the right choice. Because he was just going to die like an idiot anyway. Just like Paul McCartney.
And they would have had to replace Jeff Best.
Pete Best.
Although Ringo Starr was a star, right? Like, he was like the favorite Beatle, like the heartthrob. He was the one that everyone was attracted to sexually.
I still maintain, like, not musically, but Ringo's my favorite Beatle in terms of the ones I'd want to hang out with. I think Ringo is the only one I would want to hang out with. I know George Harrison seems nice, but if you watch that documentary about the making of the Let It Be album, everyone always talks about, like, Yoko Ono being the annoying presence in those last few days. I think everyone but Yoko and Ringo were being annoying. Yoko was pretty chill. Ringo just wanted to do his job. John Lennon would not stop hanging on Yoko. Paul McCartney brought fucking kids to the studio like a real asshole. I did that for your benefit and for the benefit of Mr. Kite. And George Harrison brought like a bunch of fucking Hare Krishnas and just had them sit in the corner and stare at people. It's like, I don't want any fucking part of that either. Give me that Ringo and Yoko energy all day.
Well, do you think too, by that point, they were like not, like, we know stars now, right? Like, we know like famous people now, but those guys at that point, that's like, that was unheard of. They were almost like gods. And that gets to a human's brain, you know? So of course they're doing weird shit, like bringing a group of Hare Krishnas and watching the whole thing. Of course, I mean, watching John Lennon speak sounds, I mean, I think he's a genius and I love all of his music, right? But he sounded almost insufferable to listen to, you know, like when he's like...
Yeah, because he was insufferable when he talked.
Oh, man.
But do you honestly think if that was a fake Paul McCartney, he would have that much swagger within the group? Like, do you think a band that had been together since they were kids would let a fake Paul McCartney come in and essentially run the band? Because at that point in history, Paul McCartney does kind of, after Brian Epstein, I think Brian Epstein died back in the 60s, but after they lose their manager, Paul McCartney does step in for a while and kind of assume the managerial role within the band, why would they let an imposter do that?
Okay, two things with that. One of the conspiracies, it was Brian Epstein that actually orchestrated this whole thing and was like, we're only going to do a placeholder for a few days just to figure out what to do. Two, one of the things is when they were talking about replacing him, John was like, I have enough songs and music that Paul and I wrote together that we haven't presented to the group that I can keep the John Paul writing thing going on albums for at least 50 more songs. Like, I have enough material that I can keep this going. Two, you only know what we saw, right? So it's like, oh, Paul was sort of the lead guy before he died. Like, him and John were the lead people before he died. So in order to keep the thing up, they'd have to show at least to the world that, but John was in charge. I think John was in charge of the whole thing.
Okay. But history begs to differ. Like, Paul McCartney did take on a bunch of managerial duties within the Beatles after he is alleged to have died. And I don't think the Beatles would have gone for that. Like,
but it could have just been for show is what I'm saying. Like,
okay. So who was their manager then?
I don't know.
It was John Lennon, but they were having Paul McCartney pretend to do it.
He was the manager.
Brian Epstein died. They didn't have a manager for a while. So
you get this mad every time
someone had to step in and assume that role. And for a long time, Paul McCartney was that person in the Beatles who assumed that role. And there's also, you mentioned John Lennon saying, well, I have enough songs.
Uh-huh.
John Lennon and Paul McCartney had very, 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 very different writing styles.
Yeah, but he had enough of his, like, they wrote enough songs. Okay. He's like, I have enough material. I just Googled
okay,
it. Hold on.
So now the conspiracy isn't that they happened to find a perfect lookalike with the same musical chops as Paul McCartney. Now it's they just needed the lookalike and John Lennon wrote the music.
Well, I'm sure Billy Shears helped. He was a musician. He was a right-handed guitar player.
Okay. Have you ever learned to play guitar?
No.
You cannot switch from playing right-hand guitar to left-hand guitar in the amount of time it would have been necessary for Billy Shears to do that.
Well, they weren't playing live. So it's not they when they were doing it.
They played live on the rooftop during the Let It Be sessions. Who was playing?
What year was that?
That was 1969.
Oh, no.
I mean, you are right that they stopped touring, but...
Oh, no. But also, real quick, your manager question. The manager, Alan Klein, took over the Beatles' business affairs in 1969 following the death of Brian Epstein.
Yeah, it's one of the things that broke the Beatles up because Brian Epstein died, Paul McCartney starts assuming kind of a managerial role, and then John Lennon brings in that guy who was the Rolling Stones manager. And that is actually kind of the last nail in the coffin for the Beatles. So it was them disagreeing on business decisions. And I still just don't think they would have let an imposter have that much weight in those business decisions. I also, if this involved the government, I still see no world where they would let the Beatles put all of these hints about this plot out to the public.
But they aren't that obvious. They also said in a documentary that the guy Maxwell called and was like, you guys have to stop doing this. And then that's when the White Album came out, where it was just the White Album. But inside, there were some clues. Also, the theory is John was going crazy and that's why he was doing that. And they were hoping they were going to get away with it. George was like, this is scary. That's why he made those tapes that they tried to bear. I think it was a documentary, not a mockumentary, because they were like, look, we tried to authenticate these. Like,
but it's not really George Harrison on the tapes.
No, but I think that's for movie purposes, right?
So you think someone heard the tapes and then re-recorded them in their best George Harrison voice?
Yes.
Why?
But for, like, the movie.
Why wouldn't you just play the tapes in the movie?
I don't know. I want you to know that I understand that there are a lot of holes in this.
I have always felt there were a lot of holes in the Paul is Dead theory.
I just don't know where it would come from. That's the only thing that I'm like. Like, how could this type of rumor get so much traction? Back then, there's no internet. You know what I mean? There's no internet. The only thing we really have is, like, magazines and newspapers. And, like, I just don't understand where this could have... Some college kid was just like, oh, I think...
I mean, it started as a rumor, but like rumors, Paul McCartney was involved in a car accident in 1966.
On November 9th?
I don't think it was on November 9th, but he was involved in a perfectly well-publicized car accident and sustained some minor injuries. The same thing happened with Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan had a mysterious motorcycle crash that like no one talked about. Like they knew it happened, but there were no details.
Two things. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
One, the rumor about Bob Dylan is that that wasn't a real car wreck. It was just a way to get him into rehab.
Yeah, it could be.
And then the second one, what if they did that car? What if they well publicized this big car wreck so they could explain some of the scars on Paul McCartney?
What if he just got scars in a car accident?
Well, no, he was decapitated in that car accident. There's also rumors that he blew his own head off in that at that act. Like he actually
yeah,
drove
he blew
away
his mind
killed
out
himself
in a car. Yeah. He didn't notice that the light had changed. That's a line from A Day in the Life.
I just didn't expect you to know so much. I thought I was just going to explain it all, and then you were going to be like, cool. But you're like, no, I guess I didn't know that you'd...
I know a lot about the Beatles. I'm a big Beatles fan. I read when the Beatles put out that anthology book, like the huge coffee table size one, I read that shit in 3 days. I like the Beatles a lot, and I know a lot about them. And I've seen all of these clues, and they're all things... It reminds me of that conspiracy where people are like, oh, Stanley Kubrick hides a bunch of Illuminati symbols in his movies. Sure.
Oh, God.
He hides, for one thing, he doesn't hide any of that shit. They're just there. And they are occult symbols. And occult symbology is prevalent in art all throughout history. It doesn't mean Stanley Kubrick is shouting out the Illuminati. And the genesis of that conspiracy theory is a comedy article that popped up on the internet in 1995, I think. And every example of that conspiracy since leaves that part out. No one ever mentions, oh, well, the first person to bring this up was joking. Like that part always gets left out. And that's kind of the case with the Beatles too. Like not so much with the Sgt. Pepper stuff, but all of the Abbey Road stuff. Because then you say, well, Maxwell called him and said, hey, I'm going to drop my silver hammer on you if you don't stop putting these clues on your album covers. Well, then explain Abbey Road. That comes out after the White Album, and that's got a ton of alleged clues.
Well, they did this. The baby and Meat album, you know, where they have the doll heads.
Yeah, the Butcher cover. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not that was the original cover. And now the one to the public is Paul in a box. That's when they said Maxwell called and says, what are you doing? You can't do this anymore. And John was like, okay, we'll do this.
Well, I know the Beatles got a phone call over that Butcher cover, but I think that's
because... You don't think it was MI? It's MI6, not MI5? It might have been a mockumentary. They called it MI5 the whole time.
There's MI5 and MI6 are both.
Okay, they called it MI5.
British intelligence agencies. Yeah, I don't know the exact difference. But the thing about the Butcher cover, think about the Beatles demographic at that time. It's like... teen girls, like they're the first like legitimate boy band. And I think the reason they were forced to change that cover is because that is a shocking look to put out to a bunch of teenage girls. You sitting around with meat cleavers and bloody doll parts. Like, I think that's why it was changed. Also, didn't that album come out before 1966?
What's it called? What's the album called?
I think that's Yesterday and Today, but I'm not.
No.
Positive.
Baby parts Beatle album. This is how I Google everything.
Google Beatles Butcher cover. It is Yesterday and Today.
Yesterday and Today.
And it came out in June 1966. That blows up the theory a little bit, huh?
Oh my God. How can you just make a documentary and not have any facts in there? I spent $4 renting this thing / I bought it. I just decided to buy it because I was like,
you're going to want to watch it multiple times, obviously.
Yeah. I was like, well, renting it is $2 and buying it is $5. Why wouldn't I just buy it?
You can't afford not to buy it.
You have to buy it.
At that price.
All right. What about this? Okay. This is another thing I had. In 1968, an unknown artist named Terry Knight spent a lot of time with what would have been the replacement Paul. When Paul McCartney wanted to sign Terry to their record company, Apple, which, by the way, it was supposed to be a Paul. It was a Paul. They were doing like a thing with Paul. Never mind. I forgot what it was called, but
Never Apple mind. Is a Nirvana album.
What?
Nothing. Go on.
Okay. So when Paul McCartney wanted to sign Terry to their record company, Apple, he wrote a song called Saint Paul, which people said he was alluding to Paul being dead. Or some think it was a reference to the Beatles being close to Jesus because of what John had said earlier. But then I listened to the song and I thought it was more creepy homage to Paul instead of evidence that Terry knew that it was a fake Paul. Listened to it. It was just more, do you know what song I'm talking about?
Yeah. And what I've always heard about the song is that, because again, we've talked about how at that point in Beatles history, there were a lot of business differences more than creative differences. Like their music, like they were still fine when they were sitting around recording songs the way they recorded songs, which was also very unique and not a thing I think you could just slip an imposter into, but it's fine. But they had a lot of business differences. And what I've always heard about this song is that this guy was close enough to the Beatles at the time that he saw a lot of those arguments and disagreements and mostly sided with Paul McCartney. And that's what that song is about, is him saying, hey, when it comes to all this internal shit with the Beatles, Paul is actually right. As opposed to, hey, Paul is dead and in heaven right now. Because that guy, if we're talking MI5, MI6, that guy gets murdered in the recording studio. Like that song
immediately
would never come out. If that's what that was about.
Well, the song released in April 69, months after the rumor, the dead Paul rumor started. The publishing company took notice and re-released the single to give credit to John and Paul because there were so many Hey Jude references. Publish it, and it made sense. Publish it correctly and the royalties are handled properly. But also there was a weird thing too that I read about the art was in the documentary. I just didn't want to admit that I got that too from the documentary because I'm starting to rethink. I can't believe I spent $5 on that. No regrets. I'll probably watch it a few more times. So publish it correctly and then they can handle out the royalties correctly, right? Mm-hmm. What people think is that the fake Paul commissioned Terry to write the song to tell people the truth. And when the song wasn't a hit, they just changed up the publishing stuff just to make the royalties easier. The song isn't proof, but it's definitely where most people think the original conspiracy started. The original conspiracy started in the Detroit area, and that is where Terry was from. And Terry died in 2004 and never gave a single interview on the subject. That's kind of weird. Wouldn't he just be like, yeah, that was Paul McCartney. Why is no one just being like, why is Paul McCartney not just going, look, I'm Paul McCartney. I know these rumors are still going
around.
Paul
McCartney addressed it on Saturday Night Live.
But not really. He did, but it was like, ha ha ha, tongue in cheek. I'm really Paul McCartney.
I mean, how many times does Paul McCartney have to say he's Paul McCartney?
Has he submitted a DNA test?
He doesn't have to.
Well, like, no one has to do that unless it's a criminal thing, but
If I was him, I wouldn't.
I would.
Why? To get people to stop talking? Like, talk. Like, who cares?
Yeah. And there is one reason also. Like, if he submitted to a DNA test, I would believe it.
What if it came back and said he's 100% that bitch?
Well, I mean, we both know that all of my thoughts on this aren't grounded in complete facts. So I'd probably be bummed for a few days, but then I would move on. It'd be the same if it came out and it said, Paul McCartney's not really Paul McCartney. Also, Paul McCartney and I have the same birthday, so that would really bum me out because I don't have the same birthday as Billy Shears. I don't know when that guy's birthday is.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So who wrote all the Wings songs?
Is that the band that Paul was in at some point?
Mm-hmm. And all his solo records.
Probably him. I mean, this guy is a musician. When they found him, he's a musician. That's the thing that they're like, yeah, he actually was a pretty good musician. The only thing that was weird is that he had the wrong... And the sound is different, and Paul's sound is different from when between the accidents, even though, yes, they announced they were going to make their sound different.
Paul was a growing young boy. Like, we often underestimate that the Beatles were all like 14 when they broke up. Like, they've been making, I'm exaggerating,
Oh, I was like, really?
But they've been making music since they were like 14. And
the one thing I learned from this whole thing is that my father was a diehard Beatles fan. And that means he was the adult person that loved NSYNC in the 90s. Like he loved, I mean, I know it's a little different, but it also is like, God, Dad, you made fun of me for liking crappy music. I love the Beatles, but if the Beatles were really the original boy band and the way everyone made fun of the boy bands now, right? We're screaming girls.
Well,
makes you look at your dad different is all I'm saying.
Yeah. People, they're being a little fast and loose with the rules, though, when they call the Beatles a boy band. And I know I just did it, too. But I don't know, like NSYNC wasn't getting in a studio and sitting down and hammering out songs on instruments and shit. Like, there is a difference between the Beatles and, like, New Kids on the Block, New Edition.
Obviously.
Like, all of them. Like, the Beatles were actually talented musicians and not just talented singers and performers. They weren't that amazing as performers. That's part of the reason they stopped touring. I mean, the reason they stopped touring is
NSYNC or the Beatles?
The Beatles.
Oh, okay.
The reason the Beatles stopped touring, I don't think it's because Paul McCartney died. It's because the technology of the time, like the music equipment of the time, couldn't really keep up with the audiences they were pulling. Like they were playing, if you look at like the Shea Stadium concert, they're playing with the kinds of amps that you see a bar band use.
Oh, wow.
And meanwhile, they're playing Shea Stadium with tens of thousands of people screaming at the top of their lungs. That's why there's not really any good Beatles live albums, because all the Beatles live stuff sounds like shit, because there's just a billion fucking people shrieking in the background while they're playing through the kind of equipment you could put in your apartment without getting in too much trouble for it. Here's the thing. One of the things people say about conspiracy theories, especially the more outlandish ones and why people believe them and why they spread, is people are looking for an explanation to things that seem unexplainable.
Like what? How is this? There's nothing in this.
There's not. Look at the Beatles pre-Sgt. Pepper and post-Sgt. Pepper. That is a jarring change. Even though their music was heading in that direction, Rubber Soul and Revolver are way different than Please Please Me and these albums where they were playing like R&B covers and I Want to Hold Your Hand and shit. Once they hit Revolver and Rubber Soul, their music starts getting weirder. That's when they start like fucking with the sitar. You know, they're like taking acid. Like, that's the thing. The Beatles started taking drugs. That's why Sgt. Pepper looks the way it does. It's not because anyone died. But I think that change alienated a lot of people. It had to. Like, people who were expecting them to show up in matching suits and go, whoo, once Sgt. Pepper.
Do you think that's where it started, the rumor? Somebody made a rumor one of them must have died?
Yeah.
That's a wild thing to jump from. Because really, before I knew this.
Why would that be so wild?
That one of them died and was replaced by an imposter? That's a crazy thing to make up.
Why are you yelling at me? I didn't make it up.
I'm not yelling.
But someone made it up, and I think that's what it is. I think people were trying to rationalize this metamorphosis
easy.
The Beatles went through at that point.
They were kids. They were kids. They got a bunch of fame, and then they were like cool kids too, you know? So they were like, we're making all this money by being essentially a boy band. And we want to be real artists. That's what all artists go through, right? They like get all their money from the like
fans,
and then they change.
Fans don't like change. As someone who has hosted a podcast since 2013, let me tell you, fans don't always like change. And there is
what did you do that the fans didn't like?
I mean, I don't know. Grew as a person over the past 10 years. Like,
oh,
who knows? But
not like the label or something or the logo. You didn't start talking in an accent.
There is a pretty famous video of Beatles fans watching the video for Strawberry Fields for the first time. It's like a live studio audience, and everyone is so fired up to watch it. And then they see that crazy ass video, and it cuts back to that audience, and they're like, okay.
I don't think I've seen that video.
And they interview people, and some of them are like, yeah, man, I think it's pretty cool. And there's others who are like, I'm going to cry. Like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. the Beatles changed. They changed.
Yeah.
And it makes pointing to their music at the time as proof of a death conspiracy very easy, because a lot of things in the Beatles were changing and dying at the time. And that was coming through in their work.
I've dedicated a lot of time to believing this.
Also, with stuff
probably
like
6 hours tops, but
with stuff like George Harrison pointing to Wednesday
at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock. There's a thing police do when they are interviewing someone that they want to pin a murder on but don't have enough evidence, where they will feed that person details that they didn't necessarily know, with the hope that eventually that person's going to circle back around and give them that detail. For me to believe that's George Harrison referencing Paul McCartney's death, I would need to see this rumor discussed before that album came out, because that album comes out really, really soon after Paul McCartney died, allegedly. So is that George Harrison pointing to Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. as when Paul McCartney died?
Or are like people 6 months after?
Right. So was this rumor discussed before that? And did anyone before the Sgt. Pepper album ever say he died Wednesday morning at 5 a.m.? Or have people taken George Harrison pointing to Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. on Sgt. Pepper as proof that that's when Paul died?
I don't know. Let me Google this.
You're not going to find an answer to that. Like, it's...
Oh, there's a new video.
Thank God. I'm sure it blows everything open. Because here's the thing. If you look into this rumor, it didn't start getting discussed and it didn't really start generating steam until like 68, like maybe late 67. But like the articles that come out about it and the radio reports, those are all like 68, 69. So by that point, it's just as possible that the people spreading this fake story are pulling the details of the story from the Sgt. Pepper album cover, as opposed to the Sgt. Pepper album cover being the story.
Because that's really specific, knowing the day that he got in the car wreck. But we also don't know, like, it's not the way it is now. Like, if someone got in a car wreck now, there'd be a million things we could Google. You know what I mean? Like, Paul McCartney back then, it's like, there probably wasn't even a news van there. And no. They said Rita died, and then Rita lost her leg, changed her name, and then I believe became his wife.
So who's is Linda Eastman supposed to be Rita?
I think so. Isn't she the one who lost her leg and then they started doing music together, or was that Jessica?
No, Heather Mills.
Heather Mills.
Heather Mills was like in her 30s when she married Paul McCartney. How old was she when she got in that car? 8?
I don't know. How old, when was that when they got together?
Heather Mills, like, he married her in like the 90s or maybe even the 2000s. He was married to Linda Eastman not long after. Linda Eastman is on the cover of the Life magazine interview about the death rumors. There's a magazine article I found from the New York Times from like 1968, written by a guy who worked on a book with Linda Eastman. And it's called No, 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 Paul is Not Dead.
What?
So yeah, Heather Mills is, the article is called No, Paul's Not Dead, not the book.
She's 40 when they married in 2002.
Right. And how old was he? 109, right?
65.
Yeah. So that's
probably, how old is he now? He just turned 80?
That's probably not Rita then.
Okay. I guess this documentary laid heavily on the fact that some of us wouldn't look up some information and just take it as...
That's the thing. So many documentaries do.
That's scary for other stuff. But it says, okay, here it says the rumor started circulating in 1967, but it gained broad popularity in 1969.
Right.
Okay, real quick. The only reason why, I know this isn't hard facts, but the only reason why I believe that maybe I could be wrong, Paul McCartney wrote a song for John Lennon called Here Today. And he sings it live, and it's one of the most hauntingly beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. And I don't think Billy Shears could have written that about some guy that he barely knew, or he knew enough, but like...
Yeah. Also, Paul McCartney also wrote a song. Have you ever heard Let Me Roll It?
No.
John Lennon at the time, like, in this, I think you would also have to know John Lennon pretty fucking well. John Lennon and Paul McCartney at the time were engaged in this public feud where John Lennon was like, oh, I make the avant-garde music, baby. You're making pop hits. And Paul
McCartney.
Do you think that
he sounds like Austin Powers?
Everyone in England sounds like Austin Powers, especially at that point in history. And Paul McCartney was like, bitch, I can make the music you make. I'm just not a fucking weirdo. And so Paul McCartney makes this song called Let Me Roll It that is essentially a John Lennon song. It, in music, in lyrics, in the way his fucking voice sounds, it is a John Lennon song. But it's Paul McCartney doing it, and the whole point is, motherfucker, you're not that special. Like, I just don't make music the way you do, and you're so self-righteous that you think everyone should make music the way you do. It doesn't make you special, it makes you an asshole. And I don't think an imposter could have pulled a move like that either.
Even at that point, what year was that?
Let Me Roll It, I think, was 70, 71, something like that.
It's like 6 years later. I know a lot of people I've only known for a few years that I know well enough. And if you're in the studio, I don't think that debunks it. You're in the studio and you spend that much time with somebody because you're in the same band and you're famous together, you get to know them pretty well, right? Like, how many people do you know that you went on the road with for like a month? Or, you know, like, you haven't known them and then you go on the road with them for like a week. You know them pretty well afterwards. Maybe not enough to mimic their comedy, but years is enough for him to, especially if he's a musician.
But also, have you ever heard the SNL story about John and Paul? It was
Saturday Night Live?
Yes. There's a very famous skit. I think it was Lorne Michaels, but someone comes out during the opening monologue and basically offers the Beatles like $500 to reunite on SNL. Like, he was obviously joking, like, that's not enough money.
Yeah.
And there was this funny thing that happened a couple weeks later where just George Harrison showed up. It was like a skit, but
for the $500, that's very funny.
Yeah. But as coincidence would have it, John Lennon and Paul McCartney were in New York hanging out together the night that happened. And they almost, because Saturday Night Live is live, and they almost went down there and did that. Why would John Lennon and fake Paul McCartney have a moment like that? What would be in it for John Lennon to reunite with fake Paul McCartney just on some friendship stuff all those years later? Because there's, when I say there's like a TV miniseries about it, that's what I mean. There's a TV movie about that night when John Lennon and Paul McCartney were hanging out and that Saturday Night Live thing happened. It was on VH1.
Who played Paul McCartney and John Lennon in
Billy Shears played both.
I hate you.
Like Eddie Murphy.
You just played
the Clumps.
I mean, look, like I...
Yesterday.
One of my things... Okay. That was hilarious.
Thank you. Okay.
One of the things that I don't believe it is the John and Paul relationship. Like, that's the one thing that keeps me from... But everything else, I'm like, I don't know, man. Crazier things have happened. But the John and Paul relationship are the one thing that I'm like, that's hard to fake.
It's very hard to fake. And I don't know that this is the kind of thing... Like, someone would have talked. Like, this would have to involve so many moving parts, because...
Not really. It could be 10 people.
I don't care how good of a musician you are. I don't care how much plastic surgery you get. Like, if a fake version of one of my really good friends walked in the room right now, I'd be like, what the fuck's going on with you? Like, why? Like, this is weird. Like, you seem like you, but not like you. Like, it's easy to say, oh, he was a good enough musician that he could just fall into the band and he could write the songs and he could learn to play guitar with a different hand.
But who was he spending time with?
What?
Who was he spending time with at that time? Those guys. Like, you're that famous. You have four people around you. Like, you don't go, like, you don't go to a party. Huh?
He had a wife and kids.
He didn't have kids at that time.
He's holding his kid on the cover of the Life magazine thing. Or maybe it's one of Linda Eastman's kids. I don't know. But
when
he also had, like, Paul McCartney, it wasn't, like, I get that the Beatles weren't touring, but he still had to do shit. Like, he was still...
Oh, in March of 1969, he had a kid.
Okay.
His first kid. Okay. That would have just made me not believe any of it if children were involved.
But Paul McCartney still had to do stuff. Like, he was still a person. He still had, like, the Beatles had business things going on. The Beatles were recording music this whole time. Like, it's one thing to say, yeah, they found an adequate musician, which also, you don't just need an adequate musician to replace Paul McCartney. Like, you need Paul McCartney to replace Paul McCartney. There is a reason the Beatles are the Beatles and so many other bands are who they are. But it's going to be way harder to fit into that social scene and do all the shit the Beatles start doing. Because there's all these videos of them like fucking hanging out with Bob Dylan and taking acid and talking about drugs. And these are all people who knew Paul McCartney before. And not a single one was like, hey, you're not Paul McCartney. Or the government went to the entire British pop scene at the time and was like, don't say shit. You don't say shit.
But also, we wouldn't, if not Jeff May showed up, but looked like Jeff May, talked like Jeff May, you wouldn't like hammer him thinking he was not Jeff May. You would think, is my friend okay? What's going on, man?
I'd have questions either way.
But you wouldn't be like, you're obviously not Jeff May. Where's the real... No one thinks that way. Like, no one thinks you must be an imposter. That's what makes me confused where this came from.
I think you mean impulster?
That was good. That was
Thank
really
you.
Good.
Thanks. I liked it. That was all right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'd get there. Maybe at some point. I mean, the way my head works, I'd think alien before, like, the government... replaced him. I'd be like, you a shapeshifter?
Would you really think that?
No, but
I'm gonna hire someone that looks like me to hang out with you and see if you
I am willing to take up that challenge just for the you hire someone who looks like you part.
Yeah, I don't
see that's
I
the thing that yes, do that. Show me how easy it is to find someone who looks and sounds exactly like you, who could have fake Kim Kroll host an episode of your podcast sometime and see if people notice.
I don't like admitting that I possibly could be wrong. But I assumed you didn't know that much, and I was just going to, and you know all of it.
I mean, I've looked into this theory. There's a reason we haven't done an episode about it, because I don't believe. And actually, we've done episodes about celebrities who people claim were replaced by lookalikes. And I'm
Who's
sure
celebrities?
Paul McCartney came up. There's Avril Lavigne, Andrew W.K., Eminem is one.
Eminem
in terms of like physical features might be the most compelling. Like
who replaced Eminem? What happened to him?
The rumor there is that he died of a drug overdose. It might have also been a car crash, though. Maybe a drug-induced car crash, but not something drugs. Like that. And that
when?
They just wanted to keep the money train going, so they pumped out a new Eminem, and that's why there was like 5 years between a couple of his albums. I don't know. I don't believe it. I think it's also not true.
Maybe.
If Eminem did get in a crazy car accident, might explain why his face looks different.
Well, what conspiracy, you do this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not believe in any conspiracy theories?
I believe in so many.
I feel defeated. I feel like I didn't come with as much as I thought I came with, and you debunked it all very quickly, and I'm very disappointed.
There's just not that much to it. There's not a
but
lot.
But I still, it's one of those that I would believe if it happened. Like, if they were like, yeah, this actually happened, I would be like, oh, I believe it.
Yeah, I could see someone trying it. I just don't know if it would have been as successful as it was.
Nah, but it wasn't, because people found out.
Did they? Not enough.
I guess that's one of the things that I'm like, if this actually was George Harrison's last will and testament, and it was like tapes, it wouldn't have been just some guy in some small studio. It's been a disappointing few days. Not that I want Paul McCartney to die, because I love Paul McCartney. I have a Beatle tattoo.
That's a lot. Does it just say the Beatles?
No, it says Paul McCartney died in 1966. It's a tramp stamp.
That's where the rumor started.
That's right there. No, it's just whisper words of wisdom.
Oh, let it be. Let it be.
Did anybody leave any comments where they were like, she's making a compelling?
No.
Were they mean to me?
No, there weren't a lot of comments. I think people were just rapt with attention. I don't think that's how you say that.
Oh, they were paying attention?
Yeah. People were just listening. They were waiting for you to sell them. And I'm sure I'm sure you did.
What were you going to say? Some what?
I'm sure you sold some people on it. I don't have any doubt. Not me, but.
But what? Okay. I still stand by one day on Paul's deathbed. He's going to be like, I'm Billy Shears.
I would too if I was Paul McCartney, just to like fuck with people.
Even then you wouldn't believe it? If he gives us a DNA, why isn't he given a DNA test?
Because he doesn't have to. That's like asking why the Sandy Hook parents don't give Alex Jones DNA tests on all their kids.
Okay, it's not exactly
the
same.
It's not exactly the same, but it's not that far off. The answer is because you're not entitled to that level of information just because you got a hunch about Paul McCartney. Like,
I don't want the information. I think he should just give the information so the rumor will die and Kim can rest in peace.
You think the government couldn't fake something like that? What, do you have Paul McCartney's real DNA to compare it with?
See? So do you think the government can't fake that? But they can totally...
No, I'm saying, what if Paul McCartney was like, swab my cheek, baby? What would you do with that?
He doesn't sound
You run that up 21andMe and whatever, or whatever it's called?
Do you want to see some pictures that I pulled up that I had ready so you could see the differences between Paul McCartney before 1966 and Paul McCartney after 1966?
I mean, I've seen those pictures, and that's the same thing. You see that in, like, the Avril Lavigne thing, where you got to take perspective into account also. And, like, the distance at which pictures are being taken, the shadows. If Paul McCartney was in a car accident, was there some sort of plastic surgery he had to have that was reconstructive in nature? That might change things. Like, I've seen the pictures.
Your theory on the whole, they made it up and they were trying to run with it on Sgt. Pepper, and no one really talked about the time until after Sgt. Pepper. I'm still not convinced. I still kind of believe it.
Okay, how did George Harrison know what time Paul McCartney died?
Because he left the studio at like 4-ish, and they got the call at like 6-ish, and okay. Maxwell was like, it's 5.
He was like, what was the exact time of death, baby? Hare Krishna, what time did he die?
Well, I'm sure they told him, you know, when someone, you know, I know when like...
You think the police were like, oh, hey, Mr. Harrison, he died at 5 a.m., innit?
He doesn't sound like Austin Powers.
That's the cop, yeah.
I mean, but you know, like, if your friend was in a car, like, if your close best friend died in a car accident, they tell you the time of death. He wasn't like, hey, can someone tell me the time of death? Because I'm making this, like, no, they're like, they said that they brought him to the Maxwell brought them to the car wreck to identify Paul McCartney. They were like, yeah, that's our friend Paul McCartney. And they're like, yeah, time of death was around 5 o'clock a.m.
Why did Maxwell take them?
Because he was the guy who was handling, when they found out that it was Paul McCartney, they called MI3.
Who knew it was Paul McCartney if the Beatles had to come identify him?
See, that part's unclear.
It sure is.
Like, well, Rita's the one who knew it was Paul McCartney.
And she's
on the side of the road.
Paul McCartney
crying.
Was decapitated and she was in good enough health that she could be like, is Paul McCartney in it?
Well, that's not proof. That happens all the time. Someone in a car accident walks away unscathed and the other person is fine.
Who did she tell that to?
Called the police. And then the police
called Maxwell.
Damn it.
I don't know why. I don't know why it would go down that way. Like, I get that the Beatles are celebrities and things, but this would be such a needlessly elaborate thing when you could just as easily sit people down and be like, look, this is going to hurt. You're going to be sad, but Paul McCartney died. Like, yeah, motherfuckers might be distraught. You might get a couple people who would kill themselves, but those people were going to kill themselves someday anyway.
Anyway,
if you're doing it over Paul McCartney, you were looking for an excuse. So I just don't understand what the motivation would be. Even the part where, oh, it's keeping the money going. The Beatles could have kept going without Paul McCartney.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, the Beatles talked all the time about kicking George out and adding Eric Clapton to the band.
But that was a joke.
No, it wasn't. Like,
John Lennon was a real dick,
wasn't
he?
Yeah, John Lennon was an asshole. But also, you got to think of all the talent around them at the time. Like,
Bob Dylan.
They would have found someone to join that band. Fucking Pete Townsend could have joined that band.
But I just keep going back to, like, why did this rumor start? And how is it? Like, it's just weird.
I'm telling you, it's because the Beatles changed so much. And people want an explanation for that change that goes beyond, well, people change sometimes. But people don't want that. They want there to be some extenuating circumstance that has made the band that was their favorite band that sounded one way and looked one way, now they sound a whole different way and look a whole different way. And why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? And eventually, some idiot landed on, you know, when they said Paul McCartney had a car accident in 1966, I bet he died. And that's why the Beatles had to change so much. Never mind the fact that they were writing a bunch of the Sgt. Pepper stuff before his alleged death date like that, you know.
Well, that's the thing that they're saying, though, too, is that those songs were already written. Like, John was like, I already have a lot of material that Paul and I did together. So that can be debunked.
Yeah. And the thing about John Lennon, he was usually pretty honest about what his songs were about. And the Beatles were kind of like the TV show Lost, where people just pored over their shit, looking for all these secret meanings and all these hidden clues. And the song that stands out to me, it's on Sgt. Pepper. It's called Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite. And for years and years and years, people were like, that's a drug song, isn't it? It's about drugs. And John Lennon was like, no, those are words I saw on an old circus poster. And people were like, okay, whatever. And then John Lennon produced that fucking circus poster and was like, see, baby, this is where it came from.
So famous people sound like Austin Powers.
Yes, famous British people. And like the same thing with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. He was like, that's something one of my kids said to me. And they were like, no, it's about LSD. And here's the thing, it could be both. But like, John Lennon was pretty open about what his songs meant, even when they meant nothing. Like, if you listen to I Am the Walrus, that song is
Cuckoo Ca-Choo.
That song is gibberish. It is absolutely meaningless. And when asked about it, he was like, that song is gibberish. It means
what about
nothing.
Eleanor Rigby? They said that that song is about Paul's funeral. Like, the preacher says a sermon that no one will hear.
Eleanor Rigby is on the Revolver album. When did that came out before Sgt. Pepper?
I think that came out before or after he died, at least. I think it, what year did the Revolver album come out? 1966.
Uh-huh. Wait. What month?
Oh no.
See? That would have come.
How can they just make this documentary, call it a documentary, and then just put it out there into the world? By the way, before I watched this thing, a very smart person I know told me to watch this because I told him I believe Paul McCartney died in 66. He goes, oh, have you ever seen that documentary? And I was like, no, I did my own research. Yeah, God, I just became my own research crowd.
Yeah, Eleanor Rigby was on the Revolver album that came out before Sgt. Pepper. So any references to anything on, I think even Strawberry Fields, I think even came out before Paul McCartney is alleged to have died. And that's another song where people are like, Strawberry Field, it's a cemetery. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't necessarily.
Oh, no, it came out in 1967.
What did?
Strawberry Fields.
Okay. But I think that's your genesis for this rumor. I do honestly think it is that the Beatles changed their sound and their look so dramatically. And as far as their sound, it wasn't that dramatic. People just weren't ready for those fucking suits that they put on the Sgt. Pepper album. But their sound was already getting pretty experimental. They just got fucking weird on the Sgt. Yeah. Pepper album, which I honestly, I think is not one of their better albums. But I know people love it.
I like the album.
A whole lot. I like it. But like, that's the other thing. Like, if Paul McCartney was replaced with an imposter, they didn't just find someone as good as Paul McCartney. They found someone better because Paul McCartney, at least in my opinion, does all of his best work after Sgt. Pepper. And I know there are people who'd be like, see, he was replaced. No, he's just maturing as a songwriter.
I mean, he still could have been replaced.
No, he couldn't. No,
what
he fucking
Billy
couldn't.
Shears was
I'm
just
sorry.
A better musician.
He could not. Like, it would not have fucking worked. People would not have fallen for that shit. Like, there's no. And also, you're crossing your wires. Like, half the time, it's, well, they didn't need him to be that good because John Lennon had all these songs written. Well, then, did this guy write
songs?
What
if it was
not?
Both? What if it was both?
Then what happened to all those songs John Lennon had written?
But what if they were like part of them? What if he was like, I have these songs, and Billy Shearer was like, I have some ideas.
The Beatles only made like four more albums after this.
And then they broke up because of the guilt.
They broke up because they hated each other.
Oh, that makes me so sad. I'd rather the guilt.
But
I don't know.
It's not. See that again, that's the exact same thing. That's you in your heart wanting it to be something other than what it really is.
It's which just is some sometimes idiot made up just, a lie.
Sometimes people just don't get along anymore. Like,
well, yeah, because, well, you know, the Yoko factor.
See
how they blamed Yoko, but they already had a bunch of problems, but it was easier just to blame Yoko. And that's what the Yoko factor is like.
Yeah, I think that's a thing fans kind of project on the Beatles, too. And I think it's the same thing where they want to be like, oh, why would our four lads from Liverpool break up? And it's like, oh, because they had that evil outside influence that was Yoko Ono. Or, oh, it's because they didn't get along with imposter Paul, but real Paul was cool. It's like, no, they broke up. And it's probably for the best. Like, the alternative is the Rolling Stones. Like, I say this all the time. The Rolling Stones and the Beatles have approximately the same number of, like, actual hits.
Yeah.
It's just that the Beatles did it in 10 albums, and the Rolling Stones have, like, 40.
They have 40 albums?
I mean, they've been making music this whole time. Like, I don't know that they've cranked out a bunch in the 2010s or 2020s, but they got a shit ton of albums. I think they have, like, 30-some.
I don't think that guy did as much drugs as he says he did.
Who, Mick Jagger or Keith Richards?
Both of them. They're still alive.
Maybe it's the drugs keeping them alive.
I don't know, but all the rock stars are dying around 60 because it's like, well, you can't do a bunch of drugs and drink your whole life and not.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Maybe we're doing better drugs these days.
That could also be it.
That's probably all it is.
What if we don't end this with me saying, you've convinced me, but we end this with both of us saying that we could both maybe possibly be right.
Oh, I know I'm right.
There's part of, okay, and again, like, I sit on this, like, I don't, like, I wouldn't die on this hill, but there are some things that I'm like, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's compelling clues in anything. Like, if you, I'll use it as a comparison again. If you look into the Sandy Hook thing, if you just read the surface level claims about what happened at Sandy Hook, a lot of it does seem like compelling proof of a conspiracy theory. And all you got to do.
Oh, God, I didn't even read those.
But if you look into each one a little bit deeper, like, you can debunk all of it. Like, there was one that there's a above head photo from the day the shooting happened, and there's a bunch of Christmas trees outside. And people are like, why did they have all the memorial trees ready on the same day the shooting happened? They didn't. They were selling fucking Christmas trees at the school. Like,
oh, God, I don't think it's the same at all.
It's not. Mine is, but like, it's the same. It's the same thinking. It's exactly what you said. They know people aren't going to look into it. The people who do the least amount of research in this world are the do your own research crowd. They don't.
Oh, yeah.
They don't research. They follow Twitter accounts that.
Wait, are you saying I didn't do my research on this?
Well, that's the thing. Like, watching a documentary like this isn't enough. Like, it's not.
Oh, I watched YouTube videos. I read articles. There's a quote from Ringo Starr that he's like, "Yeah, that did happen, and we're sad, but we can." There's a quote somewhere, but it was on the New York Post or the New York. Yeah, like, not the most, like, an Inquirer situation.
Yeah. It's just,
so I did do some research. I did do a lot of research. I didn't just watch a documentary. I just watched the documentary yesterday because I thought it would help me, but it actually, it did not. It made me kind of think I might've been wrong this whole time. Maybe. I won't say that you've convinced me, but you have disappointed me.
I feel like I have secretly convinced you, but you don't have to admit it. It's fine. No worries.
It's just, I liked that part of my personality. And
the part that thought Paul McCartney died in the 60s. I will be honest. It is probably your defining characteristic.
It's the only thing people know about me.
Yeah. I remember, I think I met you through Jeff, and I'm pretty sure the first thing he said was, hey, you should have my friend Kim on. She believes Paul McCartney died in the 1960s. She's a really good comedian. She'd probably like to come try a McRib. I think you were on the McRib episode.
That was the first time we met, was the McRibs. Yeah. Yeah. That was, someone took a picture of me eating my first McRib.
Yeah. Which, the McRib just passed, RIP. They claim they're never bringing it back, but
don't they always bring it back, like, once a year or something?
Yeah, they do. They say this is the last time, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. It's my only, I've done all the research I can. And every time it comes back to, but it's just a weird thing to make up. All right, I'm not going to say I have been convinced otherwise, but I'm going to say I inched the other way a few inches.
Well, good. And that's like, that's not necessarily the point of these episodes. I'm not trying to change people's minds, but, you know, just trying to.
Do you always change their minds, or do you
this
often?
This is the first time we've done one of these. You are the pilot program, and it went very well.
It did?
It did. Oh, yeah. This was great.
Oh, good. Okay. That's all I need. My. I feel like I had all this research, and then you were like, no. And here's why.
That is my job.
Well,
so Kim, thank you so much for doing the episode.
Thanks for having me,
especially on such short notice. Do you have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, I have a book and a podcast. I wrote a book about my dating life called "Confessions of a Recovering Party Girl," and how much I used to drink. So drinking and dating. And then I have a podcast called Crawl Space, Kim Crawl, KYMKRAL space. Yeah.
All right. Do I have anything to plug? AdamTodBrown.substack.com. Things are heating up over there. That's where I write. You can give me money to write. Although everything on there is free for right now, but that's going to change very soon. My most recent column is about how, I think there's a good possibility Trump and Carrie Lake might run as an independent ticket in 2024 and then storm the Capitol when they don't win. So go read about that. And other than that, that's all I got to plug.
Carrie Lake's the broad from Arizona that barely lost, who looks like she's always in a filter.
Yeah, she's a fucking nightmare.
She's a mess, yeah.
And I think that's it. We should get out of here. Kim, say goodbye.
Adam. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
People of Earth, your planet is about to be destroyed.